Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. In preparing for this program, I began to feel as if I was doing investigative reporting for TV's 60 Minutes. The issue of antipsychotic medications being misused in nursing homes has a much longer and disturbing history than was evident in the first AARP article that appeared in my inbox recently. Today, I'll be reading articles highlighting this decades-long travesty. They come from the Center for Medicare Advocacy, testimony at the Senate Aging Committee, November 30, 2011, AARP Bulletin, August 2014, Antipsychotics in Nursing Homes by Jan Goodwin, AARP June 2017, Antipsychotic Drug Use for Dementia Patients Still Widespread by Victoria Sackett, and from the Associated Press, February 2018, New Report Details Misuse of Antipsychotics in Nursing Homes by David Carey. So, from the Center for Medicare Advocacy, the misuse of antipsychotic drugs as chemical restraints is one of the most common and longstanding but preventable practices causing serious harm to nursing home residents today. We thank the Senate Special Committee on Aging for holding today's hearing. And I repeat, this was November 30th, 2011. In May 2011, the Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services issued a report indicating that 304,983 elderly nursing home residents received atypical antipsychotic drugs between January 1 and June 30, 2007, at the cost of hundreds of millions of dollars for the six-month period. 83% of the claims were for off-label conditions, including 88% for conditions specified in the black box warning given to antipsychotic drugs by the Food and Drug Administration. The Inspector General's report actually understates the inappropriate use of antipsychotic drugs with nursing home residents because it does not evaluate the inappropriate use of conventional antipsychotic drugs, which are still used in nursing facilities. Nursing facilities' self-reported data, publicly reported by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, indicate that in the third quarter of 2010, 26.2% of residents received an antipsychotic drug in the previous 7 days. Facilities reported to CMS that they gave antipsychotic drugs to many residents who did not have a psychosis or related condition, including 39.4% of residents at high risk of receiving antipsychotic drugs because of behavior problems. As Inspector General Daniel Levinson wrote on May 9, 2011, too many nursing homes failed to comply with federal regulations designed to prevent over-medication, giving nursing home patients antipsychotic drugs in ways that violate federal standards for unnecessary drug use. He concluded, government taxpayers, nursing home residents, as well as their families and caregivers, should be outraged and seek solutions. We agree with General Levinson that the misuse of antipsychotic drugs with nursing home residents who suffer from dementia is an outrage, but what is even more shocking is that this problem is not new. More than 20 years ago, this committee held a workshop on reducing the use of chemical restraints in nursing homes that identified the same issues we are discussing today. Several months later, in February 1992, in the preamble to proposed regulations that would have given residents new protections from chemical restraints, the Health Care Financing Administration, HCFA, predecessor agency to CMS, described the longstanding and significant public health problem in many, but not all, of this nation's long-term care facilities. The problem described by HCFA was, even then, more than 15 years old. That would take one back to 1977. For many years, there have been allegations of misuse of psychoactive drugs in these facilities. In 1975, the Special Committee on Aging of the U.S. Senate held hearings on this public health problem and made reference to chemical straitjackets in nursing homes. In 1980, the House Select Committee on Aging held hearings on the same subject. They entitled their report, Drug Abuse in Nursing Homes. Most recently, articles that deal with the subject have appeared in a number of medical journals. These papers generally question the extent of use of psychopharmacologic drugs in nursing homes and question whether adequate monitoring of the use of these drugs exists. Since at least 1975, we have been on notice as a country that nursing home residents have been over-medicated with antipsychotic drugs, yet the problem persists. It is long past time to change this shameful record. CMS should amend the requirements of participation for nursing facilities to require medical directors, quality assurance committees, and administrators and pharmacists to certify that they have reviewed the facility's use of antipsychotic drugs. Going on now to antipsychotics in nursing homes, AARP Bulletin, August 2014 by Jan Goodwin. Antipsychotics may trigger serious side effects in patients with Alzheimer's. When Patricia Thomas, 79, went into Ventura, California nursing home with a broken pelvis, the only prescriptions she used were for blood pressure and cholesterol, and an inhaler for her pulmonary disease. By the time she was discharged 18 days later, she wasn't my mother anymore, said Kathy Levine, 57, of Carpinteria, California. She was withdrawn, slumped in a wheelchair with her head down, chewing on her hand. Her speech was garbled. Within weeks, she was dead. Thomas, a former executive assistant, had been given so many heavy-duty medications, including illegally administered antipsychotics, by the Ventura Convalescent Hospital in November 2010, that she could no longer function. If one drug caused sleeplessness and anxiety, she was given a different medication to counteract those side effects. If yet another drug induced agitation or the urge to constantly move, she was medicated again for that. Yes, my mom had Alzheimer's, but she wasn't out of it and when she went into the nursing home. She could dress and feed herself, walk on her own. You could have a conversation with her, said Levine. My mother went into Ventura for physical therapy. Instead, she was drugged up to make her submissive. I believe that my mother died because profit and greed were more important than people. A Ventura County Superior Court judge agreed that Levine had a legitimate complaint against the nursing home. In May, attorneys from the law firm Johnson Moore in Thousand Oaks, California, joined by lawyers from AARP Foundation, agreed to a settlement in an unprecedented class action suit against the facility for using powerful and dangerous drugs without the informed consent of residents or family members. It is the first case of its kind in the country, and hopefully we can replicate this nationwide, said attorney Kelly Bagby, a senior counsel for AARP Foundation litigation. A national problem. Tragically, what happened to Patricia Thomas is not an isolated incident. According to Charlene Harrington, professor of nursing and sociology at the University of California, San Francisco, as many as 1 in 5 patients in the nation's 15,500 nursing homes are given antipsychotic drugs that are not only unnecessary, but also extremely dangerous for older patients. The problem, experts say, stems from inadequate training and chronic understaffing, as well as an aggressive push by pharmaceutical companies to market their products. The misuse of antipsychotics as chemical restraints is one of the most common and long-standing but preventable practices causing serious harm to nursing home residents today, said Toby Edelman, an attorney for the Center for Medicare Advocacy in Washington, D.C. When nursing facilities divert funds from the care of residents to corporate overhead and profits, the human toll is enormous. kickbacks to doctors. In November 2013, the U.S. Department of Justice called one of the largest healthcare fraud settlements in the U.S. history. Johnson & Johnson and its subsidiaries were fined more than $2.2 billion to resolve criminal and civil charges because of their aggressive marketing of drugs, including antipsychotics, to nursing homes when they knew the drugs had not been approved by the U.S. FDA as safe and effective for a general elderly population. The corporation also allegedly paid kickbacks to physicians as well as to Omnicare, the nation's largest long-term care pharmacy provider. Omnicare pharmacists were recommending Johnson & Johnson drugs, including the antipsychotic Risperdal, for use by nursing home residents. Antipsychotic drugs are intended for people with severe mental illness, such as patients with schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. As such, they carry the FDA's black box warning that they are not intended for frail older people or patients with Alzheimer's or dementia. In these populations, these drugs can trigger agitation, anxiety, confusion, disorientation, and even death. They can dull a patient's memory, sap their personalities, and crush their spirits, according to a report from the California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform. Kept in the dark. What's more, the law requires informed consent by a patient, or if that is no longer possible, by his or her family before such drugs are administered. Yet, advocates say that all too frequently this doesn't happen. Levine, for example, said she didn't know about all of her mother's medications until she transferred her mom to another facility. When I saw the list of what she'd been given, I freaked out. I was upset and angry, in tears, she recalls. How can such things happen? One explanation is that many facilities don't have enough properly trained staff. Most of the patient care in nursing homes falls to certified nursing assistants, or CNAs, who need as little as 75 hours of on-the-job training to get certified. Yet if you want a license to be a hairdresser, you need 1,500 hours of training, Harrington pointed out. What's more, CNAs are paid low wages, so many of them work long hours. They are totally exhausted with extremely heavy workload, she said. That leads to high employee turnover and caregivers who don't know their patients well enough to recognize their needs. Compounding the problem, many nursing home patients require a high level of care. Some are incontinent, and an estimated 60 to 70% have some form of dementia. There should be one CNA for every 7 patients, but in some cases, the ratio is 1 to 15 or even more, Harrington says. There are also tend to be too few physicians actually present in nursing homes. These facilities are highly medicalized, but doctors are rarely there, said Tony Cicotto, staff attorney for California Advocates for Nursing Home Reform. He says that because of their low rate of reimbursement from Medicare, nursing homes are too often seen as a place where few doctors want to practice. The result of all of this can be so-called behavior problems among patients, which is the explanation nursing homes cite for giving patients unnecessary antipsychotic drugs, according to the U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. And pharmaceutical companies have been aggressively marketing their products as an easy and effective way to control the issues. There was a push by drug manufacturers claiming these medications work for seniors when they knew, in fact, that it doubled their risk of death, Cicotto says. Fortunately, a growing number of nursing homes have begun to look for more effective and more humane ways to care for patients. Better training for caregivers is key, according to Cheryl Phillips, MD, a geriatrician at Leading Age, an organization representing nonprofit services for older people. Nursing home staff can be trained to deal with behavior issues thoughtfully and creatively without resorting to drugs. She cites an example of a male patient who was spending his days in a noisy nursing home activity room. One day, he grew more and more agitated and tripped an aide with his cane. To calm him down, the staff took him to his private quarters. Over the following days, his behavior in the activity room became increasingly aggressive. He began randomly hitting caregivers and fellow patients. Each time, he was taken away to spend time in his room. The staff initially thought he had become violent and needed an antipsychotic, Phillips recalls, but they ultimately realized that the cacophony in the activity room was stressing him out. Caregivers inadvertently rewarded him by giving him quiet time in his room, which is what he wanted. When they did it repetitively, they reinforced his aggressive behavior. Once the staff discussed the problem and began finding peaceful activities for the patient, the problem was solved. No drugs needed. Putting patients first. Another success story was the Beatitudes facility in Phoenix, which dramatically changed its way of handling patients with dementia based on Tom Kitwood's book, Dementia Care Reconsidered, A Person Comes First. And going on now to antipsychotic drug use for dementia patients still widespread, June 2017. By Victoria Sackett. Some nursing homes continue to provide antipsychotics to dementia patients without those conditions. One out of six nursing home residents with dementia are still being administered antipsychotic drugs they don't need, and doing so could be fatal to them. The antipsychotics carry a black box warning that they are not meant for frail older people or patients with Alzheimer's disease or dementia. The consequences of misprescribing can be dire. The FDA has found that antipsychotics are without benefit and are especially dangerous, even deadly, for people with dementia, increasing the risk of stroke, falls, diabetes, heart attack, and death. Moreover, these drugs can catapult active and engaged people with dementia into listlessness and impede their ability to manage daily activities such as bathing, dressing, eating, ambulating, and conversing with others. Over half of nursing home residents have dementia, and many care facilities lack adequate staff and training in alternatives to antipsychotic restraint. Often, nursing home staff members fail to advise patients or families that such drugs are being given. The Ventura case mentioned previously helped raise awareness about the unnecessary use of chemical restraints in nursing facilities and the need to hold nursing homes accountable, said senior attorney Kelly Bagby of the AARP Foundation Litigation. Nursing homes are increasingly using alternatives to deal with the challenges of dementia. Dementia patients who experience agitation from pain or fear, for example, are being treated with reflexology and music and art therapy. Reducing boredom, providing stimulation, and giving more personal attention also can often alleviate troublesome behavior. Still, while legal, regulatory, and educational efforts to cut the use of antipsychotic medications in nursing homes are heading in the right direction, the danger is too great to be content with a leisurely pace, experts say. These drugs can have potentially fatal consequences for people with dementia, Bagby says. When these drugs are being used to chemically restrain people and not treat any illness, we should have zero tolerance for their use. And going on now to new report details misuse of antipsychotics in nursing homes by David Carey. This is from AP News, and it was published February 5th, 2018. U.S. nursing homes have significantly reduced the use of powerful antipsychotic drugs among their elderly residents, responding to pressure from many directions. Yet, advocacy groups insist that overmedication remains a major problem and want to pressure intensify. According to the latest data from the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the percentage of long-term nursing home residents being given antipsychotic drugs dropped from 24% in late 2011 to under 16% last year. Decreases were reported in all 50 states, with the biggest in Tennessee, California, and Arkansas. Dr. Jerry Gerwitz, chief of geriatric medicine at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, depicts the overall decrease as one of the most dramatic changes I've ever seen in my career. He wonders, however, if some nursing homes might be finding other medications that sedate their patients into passivity without drawing the same level of scrutiny as antipsychotics. Advocacy groups, including the Washington-based Center for Medicare Advocacy and AARP Foundation Litigation, say even the lower rate of antipsychotic usage is excessive, given federal warnings that elderly people with dementia face a higher risk of death when treated with such drugs. The advocacy group's long-running campaign was reinforced Monday with the release of a detailed report by Human Rights Watch urging federal and state authorities to take tougher measures against improper use of antipsychotic drugs. On paper, nursing home residents have strong legal protections of their rights, but in practice, enforcement is often lacking, said the report, based on interviews with more than 300 people and visits to 109 nursing homes in six states. 10 years ago, according to the Department of Health and Human Services, roughly 270,000 nursing home residents suffered from dementia and were receiving antipsychotic drugs, even though they were not approved to treat their condition. The powerful class of drugs intended, again, are used for serious mental illnesses such as schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. Analyzing the latest government data, Human Rights Watch estimates that there are now about 179,000 people in nursing homes who get antipsychotics every week without having a diagnosis for which the drugs are approved. Hannah Flom, the report's lead author, said the recent data showing a decline in antipsychotic usage demonstrated how very extensive the overmedication problem had been. In an interview, she said the lower numbers don't impress her. "Would you want to go into a nursing home if there was a 1 in 6 chance you'd be given a drug that robs you of your ability to communicate?" she asked. "It's hard for me to applaud the reduction when it's inexcusable to ever misuse these drugs." Advocacy groups contend that federal enforcement of medication regulation has been too lax and will only grow more lenient as President Donald Trump's administration pursues an agenda of deregulation. "They're helping the industry, not the patient," said attorney Toby Edelman of the Center for Medicare Advocacy. Dr. Gifford disagreed that enforcement was inadequate. He said, "The advocates want it to move faster, and I don't blame them for wanting that," he said, "but the approach being used is very successful." Dr. David Gifford, who is from the American Healthcare Association vice president, disagreed with the suggestion that nursing homes use the antipsychotics as a sedative to compensate for staffing shortages. "If someone is sedated, you need more staff," Gifford said. "The amount of staff is related to how much people can do for themselves." Laurel Klein, a California woman whose 88-year-old mother has dementia, described a very different scenario. She said her mother, during stays at three different nursing homes in recent years, was sometimes left neglected for hours at a time in her wheelchair after being given antipsychotics. "In each facility," Klein said, "it was a struggle for her to convince management that those dosages should be stopped. On a few occasions," she said, "staff members said her mother would have to leave the home if she were taken off the antipsychotics. Instead of seeing what's wrong with her, they just wanted to drug her up," said Klein. Well, I'm going on now to read for you the Nursing Home Patients' Bill of Rights. "All U.S. residents of nursing homes have specific legal rights detailed in the Nursing Home Reform Act of 1987. Some of the most important rights include the right to be free from physical or mental abuse, corporal punishment, involuntary seclusion, and any physical or chemical restraints imposed for purposes of discipline or convenience and not required to treat the resident's medical symptoms. The right to confidentiality of personal and clinical records. The right to current clinical records of the resident upon request, and to get those records within 24 hours, excluding hours occurring during a weekend or holiday, of when that resident or legal representative makes the request. The right to choose a personal attending physician to be fully informed in advance about care and treatment, and to be fully informed in advance of any change in care or treatment that may affect the resident's well-being. Also, the resident or a legal representative has the right to participate in planning care and treatment or changes in care and treatment. And finally, and this is so important, psychoactive drugs, including antipsychotics, as well as drugs for depression and anxiety, must be administered only on the orders of a physician and only as a part of a written plan designed to eliminate or modify the symptoms for which the drugs are prescribed. Such drugs may be given only if, at least annually, an independent external consultant reviews the appropriateness of the drug plan of each resident receiving such drugs. And the source of that was Cornell University Law School Legal Information Institute. Well, of course, we should be glad that programs to reduce the improper use of antipsychotics in nursing homes has been gradually getting better and better. Yet, I think most would agree that the practice has been going on for way too long, progress has been very slow, and the Nursing Home Bill of Rights spells out quite clearly when and how these drugs should and should not be used. I think that's pretty clear. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.